Hey, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Your Limitless Life. This is Pastor James Moffitt from Church Unlimited, Indio, California. And we are so glad that you joined us tonight. Remember, if you haven't done already, like and subscribe and share this broadcast with many people as you can. You know, the Lord is coming very soon. And sometimes you know, in the busyness of our days and things like that, you might think, man, you know, I wish I could share the gospel more with more people. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but one of the ways that you are able to share the gospel is to share this broadcast. And you know, our hope obviously is to, you know, to edify and to build up the body of Christ, through the word of God and through the teaching of God's word. And sometimes, depending on how the Spirit moves, the preaching of God's word on this broadcast. But also, you know, you have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends and loved ones that, some of them know the Lord. They're at different levels in their walk with God. And you might also have other people that, obviously I would be safe to say, that there's a lot of people, in our families that unfortunately may not know the Lord. And this is one way that you can share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with them. You know, everybody has an idea of what they think church is. When you say church, or, you know, everybody has a different thought that may come to their mind. But one of the things that we want to make sure through this broadcast is that we bring church, or in quotes, in a way just like our regular services. They're not, I don't think, what people would normally consider regular church. But obviously, we let the Holy Spirit lead, and He moves and has His way. And he speaks directly to our hearts right where we are. And that's how intricately involved God is in every one of our lives. And so if you haven't done that, please do so. Share with those that aren't, maybe with your friends and your family that that may not know the Lord. And this could be a way or a tool that you can share the gospel, the good news, with those that you love and that you care about. And also, while we're having this broadcast, you can just write down any comments or questions that you might have. And we will answer them in real time. Everything that we are doing, and the reason why we're doing this broadcast, is we want to be real time. We want to be able to connect with you right where you are, and to be able to speak to you and answer any questions that you might have right where you are. And so this is one of the cool things about Facebook and YouTube, and we're on both. And I pray that you would find us on either or both, and that you would like and subscribe, like I said, on both, and then share that with as many people as you can. Also, if you have any prayer requests, please honor us and share your prayer requests with us. We would love to come into agreement with you and pray and watch God's miracle working power move on your behalf. He said, "Where two or three gathered together on earth concerning anything, that it would be done of our Father in heaven." We serve a good God. And I want to talk to us about that good God. I want to talk to us about tonight about turnaround, or turning to Jesus. And if you can, I'm going to turn and I'm going to read Psalm 126, beginning at verse 1. And I want to read this probably 1 through 3. And I want to talk to us just about this scripture. And we're going to try to wrap everything around this scripture tonight. And then if you're watching, and if you could let us know where you're watching from, we'd love to say hi to you as well. Psalm 126, and beginning at verse 1 in the King James Version, it says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Then the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad." And I'd just like to pray before we get into this any further tonight. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you for this privilege, God, to be able to use this tool, to be able to forward the kingdom of God, to be able to speak directly to your people and those that may not yet be in right relationship with you. Speak, Lord, in a mighty way tonight, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. So it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. And I understand, you know, when you read this scripture, that it's literally talking about God freeing the children of Israel from captivity or from slavery and bringing them out to the place where he said, I want you to worship me here at the mountain of God. But I want you to notice the word that the psalmist used. He uses the word Zion. And if you understand, if you read especially in the book of Hebrews, that word Zion lets us know that he's talking about the New Testament church as well, that God has turned the captivity of Zion. And so in order, and he said, wherefore we are glad. So when he's talking about turning the captivity, so the first thing that we have to understand is we have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are not yet in right relationship with God, if we are not born again, we have to turn towards Jesus and to ask him to come into our heart to be our Lord and our Savior, so that Jesus can turn us around from our captivity. I want us to look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And I'll go ahead and I actually read this on Sunday as well in our regular church service. It says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And when we do that, times of refreshing will come. And like I said, I don't know that you may be watching this, or maybe at another time if you are watching this and maybe think you just stumbled upon this, or someone that you love shared this broadcast with you and you're watching that and you're not yet in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Not that you're a member of a religion or anything like that, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? That you are in right relationship with God. He knows you and you know him. If you don't know Jesus, we're believing. The Bible says that today is the day of your salvation. And we are believing. And if you're not in right relationship, we want to pray with you tonight and come into agreement with you that you will, after praying a prayer of faith, be saved, and Jesus Christ would be your Lord and your Savior. And I also want to read Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. It says, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways. Ezekiel 33:11. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so that they can live. Listen to what the Lord says. Turn with an exclamation point. Turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. Why should you die? Why should you die? So the first thing that we have to do is turn. And that's what that word repent means. That word repent means to turn away from the things that our behaviors and all the sins that are in our life. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So every one of us had to pray a prayer of repentance by faith and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, come into our heart. The blood that he shed for us on Calvary over 2,000 years ago was shed, like he said, to wipe away and to eradicate all of our sin. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that and believe that he rose again, just as he said, and we do confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart, and we will be saved. So every one of us had to do this. I had to do this. And everybody that is living for Jesus right now has to do this. There's no getting around this. And just by being good or by having more good behaviors than bad behaviors and or trying your best to be good, none of those things work. I know I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'll be good enough. God bless you, Uncle Doug. I'm so glad you're watching tonight from Indiana. I love you so much. And so it's not our good deeds that qualify us to be good enough to go to heaven, that we have to pray a prayer of faith, trusting in what Jesus did for us, and by faith receive the work of the blood of Jesus Christ, believing what he did for us, that our sins are forgiven, and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, the Lord promises us that we will become sons and daughters of the Most High God. God does not, the Bible says, God does not take pleasure in any of us, in any death of people who aren't serving him. He said it's his will that none perish, but all come to repentance. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. So the Bible says, turn to Jesus and live. That's what I'm talking about. Turning to Jesus and live. And when we read in Psalm 126, verse 1, he said, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were as the, it was like a dream to us. It was so amazing that to us, because I don't know, I know there's a lot of different people that are watching even now. I don't know what your relationship with God is, but I don't want to make any assumptions. I don't want to make any assumptions at all, especially because sometimes in church we say, well, you know, and you may not know. But without Jesus, our only option was hell. And there's only one way to make it to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. No man comes into the Father but through him. He's the door. He's the only way to make it to heaven. He's the only way to have this, what the Bible describes is our God way of life. It's Jesus and him alone. When Jesus was, he took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. They were all three up there, and the Lord began to pray. Peter, James, and John got tired and fell asleep, but when they looked up, they saw Jesus standing with Moses and Elijah. And Peter woke up and didn't know what to say. So he just blurted out something and he said, oh Lord, it's good that we are here. I'm going to build one room for you. I'm going to build one. In other words, maybe he was saying, I'm going to build one church for you. I'm going to build one church for Moses. I'm going to build one church for Elijah. And as soon as he got that word out of his mouth, the Bible said they disappeared. The Father brought a cloud enveloped where Peter, James, and John was. And the Father from heaven said, this is my son. Listen to him alone. When they looked up, they saw Jesus only. And that was, to me, a symbol of God saying, look unto Jesus in him alone. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He's the only one that can turn your life around. And that's what the psalmist said out of Psalm 126. Oh, when he turned our captivity. When he turned our captivity and he turned it around for us, we were slaves. But because of Jesus and what he did for us, he set us free so that we could worship him. And it was like a dream for us. We had no other alternative but hell. But because Jesus loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. The Lord's will that none perish, but we would all have everlasting life, that we would be with him eternally. And eternity doesn't just start when we get to heaven. Eternity starts as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Eternity begins for you as soon as you say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. So turn to Jesus and live, and he'll turn you from your captivity, and he'll fill your mouth with gladness and laughter, and you'll be glad that he did. Amen. Now for those of us that are saved, we're glad because God has turned around our captivity and God has done great things for us. Hallelujah. Darlene, God bless you. We love you so much. I want to read a scripture out of Psalm 144 and verse 15. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Hallelujah. It says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And in the previous verse, and I'll read it out of the New Living Translation. Yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. The Bible says he filled our mouth with laughter, and therefore we were glad. It's good news. That we were on our way to hell, but because of Jesus, the Lord Jesus stepped in, came down to where we were, and paid the price that we deserved, and he gave us what he and he alone deserved. And so the Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's will that we are happy. That we are happy. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. And just like we talked about on Sunday morning, God is with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If everybody else leaves you, we have a promise from God that he said, I'll never leave you. And so we realize that God is in us, and you can't get any closer than that. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And I think sometimes we get so caught up, or we can, if we're not careful, we could get so caught up with everything that's going on around us, our circumstances and our situations. And this is why I believe Paul said it the way he said it. He said, I've been abased and I've abounded, and I've learned in all ways to be content. We forget sometimes the fact that everything that the Lord has already done for us. He and that's why I just wrote this down here. When was the last time that we just thanked God for salvation? When was the last time that we just thanked him for saving us? We get saved, and I think sometimes, and especially once we've been saved for a certain amount of years or a certain amount of time, then we go on and on. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can lose the freshness of our salvation. We can lose the greatness of really what Jesus Christ did for us. When was the last time that we just thanked him for saving us? That we just, Lord, we had no choice. We were going to hell, but because you loved us so much, you came and you turned us from our captivity. And so, because Jesus turned his face, the Bible says, turned his face towards Jerusalem, set his face like a flint for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. And so I want to look now at Psalm chapter 92 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 92. Hallelujah. And verse 4. It says, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. That's, what work did he did? The work of the cross of Calvary. You have made me glad. When I don't, things get rough. Things happen in life. And especially the enemy, sometimes he wants to, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. But when we can't lose sight of the fact of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the Bible says God has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness. The work of the cross, it is finished. Jesus has done everything for us. If we can get our mind and our focus back and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we do that and keep our eyes on what Jesus has done for us, all those things that are trying to come in to get our eyes off of what Jesus has done for us to try to steal our joy from us. The Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come. The reason why Jesus came was to defeat death, hell, and the grave, and to destroy the works of the enemy, and to give us the God way of life so that we could walk in joy, so that we can have and be happy and live the God kind of way and live the God kind of life that he has called us to live. For the Lord has made me glad. We used to sing a song. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Sometimes that's what you have to, you know, when the enemy, again, the things and circumstances that are happening in our life, if we're looking at the circumstances, if we're looking all around us, we can quickly get down. But that's why the Bible says, I will look to the hills. Where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Don't forget the power of God. Don't forget the power of the cross that defeated the enemy over 2,000 years ago. The enemy that is trying to come up against you has already been defeated. He is under your feet. Don't lift your foot up and let the enemy try to come in and try to lie to you, to try to get you discouraged, or to try to get you to think that this life of Christianity is not worth living. It is the only thing going today that is worth living. If it wasn't for, life is not just a something that we do every day until we die. Life, there is a life, and he is the source of life and the author of life, and his name is Jesus Christ. He died to give us life, and really what life truly means. He has made us glad because of what he has done for us. But like I said, if we are not careful, we can quickly, by our circumstances and our situations, get caught up. And it can cause us, again, to turn away from looking at what God has done for us and turn away to look at our circumstances and our situation. I want to look at a story in John chapter 20 and beginning at verse 1. John chapter 20 and beginning at verse 1. This is right after Jesus died. Amen, Sister Jessica. God bless you. Brother Richard, God bless you. Sister Pat, God bless you. We love you. Jenny, love you so much. Thank you all for just tuning in and watching. We love you so much. John chapter 20, beginning, I want to read at verse 1, just to show you, just by this example, of this story. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped in and saw the linen wrapping there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' face was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scripture that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was still standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave. Look, she turned to leave and saw Jesus. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. But and Jesus is speaking here, and then he says, dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her, who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Hebrew for teacher. And so I wanted to read that because I wanted us to understand, first of all, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's the enemy's job. You know, we can, and I'll just, because the reason why I wanted to read this is because they knew what the Lord had said. The Lord had told them time and time again, especially as closer as it was to him dying. And him, he said, unless the Lord be lifted up as the brass pole was, as Moses lifted it up and they looked upon him and were saved, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that those that would look and believe on him would be saved. Jesus told them time and time again, and like I said, especially as it came closer to him dying and giving his life for you and for me. But whenever he said it, they didn't quite believe it, or they didn't quite understand what it is that Jesus was saying to them. And so you just like us, and or just like the disciples and Mary that we read, you could hear or know what God says, but in your everyday life and circumstance, the enemy wants to try to make sure that there's a disconnect there, that makes sure that, you know, this is what the Bible says, yeah, but. See, the enemy always wants to try to come in. That's why the Bible says, neither give place to the enemy. We cannot afford to have any room in and around where the enemy can try to slip in a lie to get us into fear, doubt, and unbelief. And so what happened here was that the Bible says that Mary looked in and she saw that Jesus wasn't there. She began to weep. She turned and she saw Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. You know why? Because she was looking by sight and not by faith. She was looking by sight and she wasn't looking by faith. And because she wasn't looking by faith, she couldn't see Jesus in the middle of what she was going through. Whatever it is that the enemy's trying to get you to, and I don't know, you know, I know God doesn't have me talking about this for any reason, just because. But you may feel like you're going, there's a lot that you're going through, that there's a lot that you may be facing right now. But I've come just as a loving reminder today to remind you to walk by faith and not by sight. Look with the eyes of faith. The Bible, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you would fully understand the true inheritance of the saints, that you would fully be able to see everything that God is truly doing in the middle of what's going on in your life. We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's the enemy's job to try to get us to get discouraged and to bring things into our life that is going to try to get us down, and so that we lose sight of the promises of everything that God said for us. Do you realize that the Lord says, I have good things for you? That he knows you. He's known you before you even hit this earth. Out of the book of Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and I placed within you a promise. I placed within you a purpose. That your steps are already been ordered by God, and God's word never comes back void, but that word that he has spoken in you, which is called your DNA, God has already written the book of your life. And if you will walk in the ways that Jesus has already walked before you, that he will get you to your land of promise in this lifetime, if you'll just trust him. But in that walk of faith, the enemy is trying to get you to get discouraged, to look to the left and look to the right. But look unto Jesus today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll keep you in the way, walking in the way everlasting. He'll keep you on the highway of holiness. Don't get discouraged. Don't say the wrong things. Don't get yourself off track by saying something that isn't true. Don't repeat the lies and the unbelief that the enemy, well, God did it last time, but he's not going to do it this time. The devil's a liar. God's going to do it. He's the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's God all by himself, and besides him, there is no other God. God is going to do it for you. Every promise in the book is yours in Christ Jesus. It's yea and amen. God is going to do it for you. But just like with Mary, she turned and she was not looking by what she knew. God had already said to her, the Lord had already said, these are the things that must happen. And he goes, and no man takes my life, but I willingly lay it down, and I will pick it up again, and I will be raised again on the third day. He said that already ahead of time. But it's just like we know ahead of time that God is good. We know that God promises us the only the best things in life. But when things happen, sometimes we in the middle of it, when we don't understand, in the middle of the fight and in the middle of the battle, we don't understand everything that God is doing. But you got to understand, and this is why you have to see God with the right lens. We have to see the Lord in the right context, in the right way. Even as we read the Word of God, we got to know that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. He's a good, good Father, and He has only good things for you and only good things for me. And so, even when things are looking like they're not working out, we still make a positive confession and not a negative one. We make a positive confession and not a negative one, because the Bible says, God said, you shall have everything that you say. And so just as a reminder, again, the children of Israel, when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, it wasn't that God just allowed them to die. He gave them what they asked for. He literally gave them what they asked for. He said, all the way as they murmured and complained, they said, did you bring us out here so that we could wander? It's better off, you know, that we could wander in the desert and die. And the Lord said, is that your confession? Then that's what's going to happen to you. Whatever you say is what you're going to receive. And God is saying, I've already said this, say what I say, and you'll have what I said you'll have. But the enemy on the other end is trying to get you to make a negative confession so that you'll get the results of that negative confession too. You'll notice, even in the natural, if you get around positive people, positive things happen to positive people. Negative things happen to negative people. And you get around people that are always have something bad to say. They've never had a good day. If you ask them, hey, how's your day today? It's never good. You can already tell. You know, and they're, well, today sucks. It was not any better than it was before. And, you know, you don't want it. First of all, you know, obviously, you want to infuse life into that person and speak life into them and get them, you know, to see things in a proper perspective. But those are the type of people, again, that you don't want to, you know, surround yourself with. But I want you to notice what happened to Mary. When she first was caught up in her circumstance, she was so overwhelmed at what she fully didn't understand. And you may not understand fully what's going on in your life, but you have to hold on to the fact that God is good. You have to hold on and confess that God is doing something good in the middle of this whole situation. And when Mary turned around, because she was so caught up in her situation, when she couldn't find Jesus anywhere. And that, you know, maybe, and I've heard people say that before. Where's Jesus in all of this? You know, where's the Lord in all of this? If God is so good, where is he at? You know he's there. You know he's there. Hallelujah. But if you're not seeing him with the eyes of faith, you can't trace him. But it doesn't mean that he's not there. He's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you. You can't get away from him. You know, he's near unto you. He's near unto you. Even on your lips and in your heart, the Bible says. So she, because she was caught up and didn't understand what was going on, and she wasn't looking with eyes of faith, when she first turned around, she saw the Lord, but she didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him. And then she thought he was a gardener, and she said, sir, if you've taken the Lord, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll go get him. But when she heard him call, her name, as soon, you know, they that are the Lord's, his sheep know his voice, you know. And his voice was so ingrained in her. The Bible says the entrance of his word brings light and it brings understanding to the simple. When the Lord begins to speak, clarity comes. And especially when he calls your name. And I pray that as we're talking about, you know, turning to the Lord even tonight, that you hear the Lord calling your name. Jenny, he's calling you. He knows your name. Sister Pat, he's calling your name. Brother Richard, he's calling your name. Sister Jessica, he's calling your name. Uncle Doug, he's calling your name. But he knows you by name. And he's calling you unto himself to turn to him in faith, believing. In faith, believing. And when she heard that word from the Lord, the Bible said, look at, you know, the Bible doesn't just say things just to say it. It says, and she turned. Wait a minute. She turned to the Lord in the beginning and saw him as a gardener. But when he said her name, the Bible says she turned again to the Lord and saw him and said, Rabboni, teacher. It's a teaching moment tonight. It's a teaching moment tonight that God is teaching us again to look at him in the middle of whatever it is that the enemy is trying to lie to us about. And by faith, you'll see him. And when you're with him, there's not a greater confidence that comes up on the inside of you that when you know that God, the creator of heaven and earth, the earth is his footstool. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and all that dwells therein. Everything is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And out of the book of Jeremiah, it says, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? That's the God that is with us. And when you know that you hear his voice like that, everything else that was sort of shaking us for a moment, we get pulled right back into faith by the call of the Lord. And we see him as he is. When we see him again as he is, then the circumstances that we turn away from, we look at him, then those circumstances grow strange, or the song we sing, grow strangely dim. The things of this world, they grow strangely dim because now our faith has been awakened and we have turned back again unto the Lord. And that's why we truly see him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, again, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm almost finished here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Glory to God. I want to go back to, and I know we wrote 18 on there, but I want to go back to 16 because this is just a reminder. It says, that is why we never give up. That's what Paul is writing to us. That's why we never give up. And I pray that if someone's watching that feels like they're about to give up, that you would hear this word and it would hit your spirit and quicken your spirit and your body to tell you, don't give up. We love you. Don't give up. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You have too much life to live. Your life isn't over. You have too much life to live. Your family loves you. The world needs you. The Lord loves you and has great purpose still for your life. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through, but I feel this pull in my spirit to tell you not to give up, to keep going in Jesus' name. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small. It won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Hallelujah. But the things we cannot see will last forever. That is good news. We fix our eyes on Jesus, which is eternal. No matter what you're going through, the Lord is going to outlast that thing. The Lord in you and you are going to outlast that thing. You're like, we read out of, you know, the Bible says, yea, though, and this is something that, you know, especially for some reason, when we get into bad moods or, you know, down moods or whatever, or even at funerals, they quote this a lot. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. First of all, listen to what the writer is saying. Yea, though I walk through, not stay. Yea, though I walk through these temporary things, these temporary small things. You might be saying, well, you know what? Whatever I'm going through doesn't seem very small. It's amplified. You know why? Because the devil is in your ear and that's what you're hearing. But the Lord, his voice is still small. You get closer to the Lord. The closer you get to the Lord, the louder his voice becomes and the less the voice of the liar comes. The Bible says the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He's going to be in your ear trying to talk loud to try to get you to believe him and his lie. But God said these things will not last for a long time. Look, it's going to be here and gone. And I know that while we're in the heat of it, it feels like it's going to last forever. I don't see any way out. But remember, God is with you. And he's walking through with you. And he is eternal. God will outlast anything. And so will you who are eternal. You're going to outlast this situation. You're going to outlast everything. These things are temporal. These things are temporal. But the things that are not seen, talking about with the physical eyes, they are eternal. They are what outlast. And so we are looking with eyes of faith and not eyes of sight. Hallelujah. What is seen in the natural is temporary. But what is seen in the spiritual lasts forever and ever. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, I'll just praise the Lord, Jeannie. God knows. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And so in the story, it's about Joseph. And I don't know if you know the story of Joseph or not. But this is the end of the story right here. And the scripture says that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around. Hallelujah. What the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned around for good to save much people alive. This thing is big. See? Hallelujah. For the Lord has turned our captivity. And to us it seemed like a dream. And wherefore we are glad, for the Lord has done great things for us. But don't forget what was said before that. That they that are around us and see how good God is for us will also look at our lives and say, for the Lord has done great things for them. Glory to God. For one reason, to keep going and to turn away from the circumstance and turn towards Jesus is to know that your life is not just, you're not just living your life unto yourself, but you're living your life and those that may not be at the faith level that you are or have gone through and have the testimonies that you do and don't know God, maybe is like you know God experientially, like you know God. Or those that are not yet in relationship with God, but they're watching your life to see how you deal with things as a believer compared to how they deal with things as an unbeliever. They're in doubt. You're in faith. They're in fear. You're in faith. Turn to the Lord and live. The Bible says, turn to the Lord and live. He said, for I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And so when in this, he said, and this is where Joseph said what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turned it around for good to save much people alive. And if you know the story of Joseph, he was, you know, just like you and just like me, we're our father's favorite. And he's given us a coat of many colors. Because he's not trying to hide you. He's trying to show you off. You're his favored son. You're his favored daughter in whom he is well pleased and who he loves very much. And he's not trying to hide you. He's trying to show you off. Isaiah 8:18. You and your children I have made to be signs and wonders in the earth. The enemy is trying to get us, like with Elijah, to try to get us to go off in our cave, to isolate ourselves away. And the reason why the enemy tries to get us isolated is obviously so he can be the only voice that is speaking into our ears. But also, men and women of the Lord, disciples of Christ, he wants to get us isolated so that others can't see the coat that you're wearing, so that others can't see the goodness of God that is being displayed from your life and the testimonies of your life. And so the enemy wants to get us off out of the picture, but God is wanting to elevate us so that we can, so that he could show how good of a father he is to those that aren't yet in relationship with him. It said, so they looked and said, for the Lord has been good to them. And so that's what happened with Joseph. Obviously, he was thrown in a pit. His own brothers, his family didn't even like him, you know. They sold him into slavery. You know, the reason I love the story, and I'm not going to stay here that long because I don't want to keep you any longer than usual, but Joseph had a dream. The Lord showed him all these great things that were going to happen in his life. And he always kept that dream. He always looked towards that dream. He always kept his eyes on that dream. He never allowed his circumstances to turn from the purpose of God for his life. Yes, he got sold into slavery, but he kept his eye on his dream. Yeah, and so he got sold into Potiphar's house, and then, you know, and then because the blessing isn't at a place, the blessing is where you're at. Wherever you go is blessed. And so when he was at Potiphar's house, he was sold to be like a slave at that house. But Potiphar trusted Saul, the blessing and the good hand of the Lord that was on Joseph's life. And he turned pretty much everything over for Joseph to run, because his whole household was being blessed because of Joseph, because of the presence of God that was on Joseph's life. But his wife lied, Potiphar's wife lied on him, and Joseph ended up getting thrown into prison. But look at Joseph's attitude when he was in prison. The cupbearer and the baker for the king. The Bible says the scripture of Joseph, while Joseph was in prison, he went to them and said, "What's wrong with you guys? What's going on with you guys?" Man, that's crazy. They looked at him and said, "Joseph, whether or not you realize it or not, we're in prison. That's what's wrong with us." But look at Joseph's attitude. He never looked at his current circumstance to determine how he was feeling. He said, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." My current circumstance is not going to dictate my emotional state. I'm going to say, "The happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Joseph, look, he said, but God is good. Amen, Sister Kathy. Praise the Lord. And so he said, the Lord is good. And then Joseph gets elevated out of prison. And then the Lord uses him to save the world from famine. To save the world from famine, gets elevated from all the way from nothing, seemingly nothing, with the word only from God, to the second in command of the most powerful nation on the earth because of the favor of God. And look at all the steps that he went through. And I know I sort of condensed it, but all the steps that Joseph went through, he never lost his positive confession. He kept saying what God said. And what, even when his brothers didn't like it, even when his father didn't like it, he kept saying, "This is what God said. This is what God said about me. This is what God said about me." And guess what happened in his life? Exactly what God said was going to happen in his life. And that's you today. Keep making the positive confession. Keep staying and turn towards Jesus. Turn towards the Lord. He's going to turn it around on your behalf. I'll just give you in Acts chapter 10, verse 32 through 35. The Bible said in a town of it's called Lydda, it's a town where Peter went in and he healed this crippled man. He healed this crippled man, And the Bible says, verbatim in the scripture, it says, and the whole town of Lydda turned to serve the Lord. That's powerful. See, so your life is one of the reasons why it's so important not to forget that it's not just you. And don't let the enemy try to get you down and to get you isolated and to get you to make a confession that isn't true. But you have to also, but guess God is going to use you to turn your family around. God is going to use you. Not only is God going to turn around your situation and your circumstance, but God is going to use your life and move powerfully through your life to turn your family around, to turn your school around, to turn your workplace around, to turn your neighborhood around. Amen. There's people that need to see the power of God in demonstration through your life, and that's what God is going to do in your life, in my life, in Jesus' mighty name. And they will surely say that God has done great things for them. Last verse here, Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. Some of us can quote this. It says, "For and we know." I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. "And we know." And that's very important for us to remember. You got to know this with everything that's within you. If there's any room for doubt, if there's any wiggle room in your heart that says, "God, well, maybe God won't. Maybe God's not good. Maybe I know he did it, but you know, sometimes." If there's any, you don't know. But that's why Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able." You got to know, even when it's not looking good, that God is going to turn it around for your good. It says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For we know that God will turn it around for good to them that love the Lord." Do you love him? He knows you do. He knows you do. He knows what you're going through. He knows. For those people that love the Lord, he said, "I'm going to turn it around for your good." For we know that God turns all things around for the good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it ministered to your heart. That no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, that's the enemy's job. The thief has come, John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "But I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." The Zoe way of life, the God way of life. And that's what God wants for you. Deuteronomy 28:1-14 is your portion. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out, always above, never beneath. That is your portion as a son or daughter of the Most High God, because of how good God is to you and to me. So this isn't the end. You're going to make it. You're pushing through. But keep making that positive confession. Look with eyes of faith and not eyes of sight, and you're going to see Jesus in every circumstance, in every situation, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And I just want to pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, I thank you that your word, according to Isaiah 55:11, never comes back void, but it accomplishes all that you've sent it forth to do. And I thank you, Lord, that the seed of your word has gone forth tonight. I pray, God, that it has hit hearts that are wide open to receive with joy. And then that seed is going to produce fruit, and fruit that remains. And it's producing even now in lives, Lord, that needed to hear this word tonight. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us right where we are. You're so in tune, God. You're so in tune and know what we need to hear right when we need to hear it. So we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And if you're watching and you're not in right relationship with the Lord, I want to pray with you as well. And I ask you to, it's not, you know, just saying magic words, but it's believing fully in your heart that if you say, and you say these, this and repeat after me, and you say this, that you can, by faith, you will know that you are saved. So I'm going to ask you, if you're not saved and you're not in right relationship with the Lord, that you would pray this with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you and I confess that I have sinned and I have sin in my life and I need a Savior. And I ask that your blood would be applied to my sin. I believe that you died for me, that you love me, that you died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and I believe that you rose again, just as you said. And I believe that by receiving that work by faith, that my sins have been forgiven, that I'm no longer what I was, but as I receive the work of the cross, that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. According to your word, old things have passed away. Everything that I was before now is gone. Every sin that I have committed has been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. As far as the east is from the west, that means they never join. And so I receive that now by faith in Jesus' name. I repent, Lord, and I receive by faith your work, your love, and your blood in my life in Jesus' name. And by faith now I confess that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, that you, if you would come tonight, I'm going with you by the resurrection in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for praying. If you prayed that prayer, please let us know. Amen, Sister Connie. God bless you. If you have any questions while we're still on, if you have any questions concerning the subject matter or anything that's on your heart concerning the Word of God, or if you have a prayer request, I would love to pray with you as well and come into agreement with you. Amen, Sister Jessica, love you so much. Love to pray with you. And concerning anything that you need prayer for, we know that God is a prayer answering God. Amen. Amen, Darlene, love you so much. Any prayer requests or any questions at all, it doesn't even have to be about the subject matter, but if you have a question about the Bible, I'll do my best to give you the biblical answer for that. So if you want to, I don't know. This is one of the reasons why we love doing this live broadcast like this, is because we do that and then it's interactive and then we can help you. You don't get to do this, you know, at church. Sometimes, like even during Bible study, you're learning about the Bible, but the only interaction we get sometimes is to say amen and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we pray that you've been blessed by the broadcast tonight. And again, if you're able to, just share this with as many people as you can. If this has blessed you, we pray it would bless others as well and could help them maybe where they're at. And so we love you so much, and we thank God for this opportunity to begin to be able to speak it into your life. And we don't take that very lightly at all. It's an honor to be able to do that. And you have to give us permission to do that. And by you tuning in and continually watching, we thank you for that. And we ask that you would also pray with us that God will continually grow this. We're still, you know, learning here. And obviously we're each week we're trying to get better and better. But as we do, we just thank you for your grace and that you're sticking with us through all this. And we believe the Lord says, despite not the days of small beginnings, for the Lord is pleased, for the work is begun. We believe that God is going to do something really bigger than anything that we could ever ask or think by this live broadcast. We have a lot of plans, things in the future that we want to do. And when we get all the bugs out and everything like that, we're going to really kick this thing up and start like really, really moving forward, maybe even more days and of the week and things like that. So we love you so much. And we just, again, we're so honored that you took the time to spend with us tonight. We love each and every one of you, Darlene, Jessica, Connie, Jenny, Brother Richard, Sister Pat, we love you so much. Uncle Doug, I love you so much. I would love to talk to you and hear your voice. I miss you, miss the family so much. Always praying for you. And